flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Another day, another win for your guy Joe Sacco there, Keefe.
Sacco, what a coach. 6-2. That's the one thing you got to say the Bruins have hit on. When they fired Claude, they brought in Cassidy, big boost. When they brought in Jim Montgomery, big boost. They brought in Joe Sacco, big boost. These players... like coaches for about a year and a half, and yep. Then once that shine wears off, you bring in a new one, but you then spark them. These guys, they play hard in the regular season for new coaches.
I mean, look, I feel vindicated, as should anyone else. Were you ever advocating at eventually that Monty should be out, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was.
I mean, you had the scoop. You were the tapped in newsman there.
I mean, I knew it was happening,
but I was done with Montgomery.
And yeah, I think it was one of those things where neither you or I were like, it's all his fault, but it's just like the way that sport works.
He's lost the team. It was so obvious he lost the team. It wasn't even funny. Like, Claude's a great example. Claude was a Stanley Cup winning coach. He was Jack Adams winner. Like, Claude's a good coach. I'm not saying he wasn't. He had lost the team. It was obvious he had to go. Mm-hmm. He should have gone months and a long time before he went. But I understand it at the time, giving him a little more leeway because he had won and all these things. Yeah. Fine. Coaches get fired all the time in the NHL. We're going to talk to Razor coming up. And he said... Montgomery, by the time he was on the outs, was one of the longer tenured coaches in the NHL, which is crazy.
Isn't that wild?
So, like, that's how the sport works. Yeah. It happens all the time. When you lose the team, you can go. You're not special. Jim Montgomery's not special. So, try it out with a different guy. Now, is this... I think it's vindication to a degree. Is it proof that Sacco is a better fit for the team than Jim Montgomery, or is that jumping to conclusions? They've won 3 in a row.
Yeah, I think
they've won 6 out of 8.
Yep. I think he's a little strong, only because they're playing a lot of bad teams
right now. I heard Milbury say this morning to Greg, and I thought that was a fair point. And we talked about this run before it even started. Like, they're going to play a lot of crap. So,
and that might have been one of the reasons behind the timing of it too. Is like, get Joe Sacco sort of a
soft landing spot.
Yeah, I think so. So, you're certainly not saying this guy has fixed everything, but from where they were playing, I mean, they were kind of treading water. They'd win 2, lose 2, go to overtime, win, lose. Like, that's kind of what they were doing for a while. So. For 8 games as head coach, to have 6 victories over that span, you'll absolutely take it. And we knew that. Like, what we were circling some of the future days, being like, you can pile up some points here. You got to go on a little bit of a run, regardless of who your coach is. And they've done that. You know, some of these teams are really bad, but whatever. You got to get your points where you can get them. And so it's still kind of a TBD, but no, I mean, he's passed sort of the first test, but we'll go from there.
Yeah, so I don't think it's done by any means. Again, they've won 6 out of 8. It's bad teams. They've won 3 in a row. Good. It feels like they've righted the ship to a degree.
Yeah.
Is it a lock they're making the playoffs or anything? No. This is another thing I heard them asking Milbury. I think Chris Curtis asked this. Would you remove the interim tag from Sacco? Hell no.
No, there's no reason to do
that.
Hell no.
Why would I do that?
I don't need to do that.
I mean, he's probably going to finish the year, but I'm not committing to this guy.
No, you don't need to. You don't even
Hell
need
no.
to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see what you do. Do you even make the playoffs? What happens when you get to the play? Like, hell no, do I remove the interim tag? I'm not locked into him next year or anything like that.
No.
So I'm not going to go that far with it, but it was clear Monty wasn't the right fit. I think this is proof of that. It doesn't mean Sacco's the right guy, but I do think firing Monty was the right decision. And I'm ready to say that.
Good text in.
Oh, yeah?
Well, because they kind of agree with me, so it's obviously a good text.
Good.
They also called me Keith, but regardless, it might be a talk to text. Who's to say?
Yeah, winners. It's a new text line, first of all.
This is a fresh idea. Oh, yeah, it's the same call-in number as now also the text line.
Yeah, so maybe their, talk to text isn't saved.
But I like this idea. Maybe they screwed up the timing, and they should fire their coach right before the playoffs.
So
and
good.
Then they get that new coach boost through the playoffs, win the cup.
Well, let me amend it. If you know you're playing Toronto in the opening round,
keep the coach. Fire him right after.
You win game 7 or whatever, fire him.
And then you're
now
you're going
to Florida.
Yeah.
Boom. Now you're going
new
on
coach
the run.
Boost.
That's a great take. Wait to fire him until the middle of the playoffs.
Not terrible.
Neely drops down behind the bench. Uh-huh. Sweeney drops down behind the bench.
Not bad.
You have Charlie or Jeremy behind the bench the way this goes.
But they have at least righted the ship a little bit, because I was wondering if they were going to make some roster moves. And I think because they've won enough games, maybe they're like, we're good for right now. The trade deadline's not for a while. But if they had gotten off to, say, a 500 start under Sacco, I wouldn't have been shocked if they were like, all right, we need to speed this up a little bit, maybe move on from a player or two.
I don't think they're out of the woods on that. But they're not done. But I agree. They come the trade deadline, maybe they're a team that now is, adding and looking to fortify their roster to make a run. I think Sweeney's actually been quite good at that as a GM. Or maybe in the meantime, if they need a kick in the ass, there's a hockey trade they could make. You've mentioned Frederick's name before. Maybe there's something you could do there. But right now, and they still have played more games than I think every other team except New Jersey in the Eastern Conference. So
they're going to get a break soon.
Yeah,
what are these guys playing so many games for?
Bruins have a lot of games out of hand.
That's right.
But they are right now third in the Atlantic Division with 31 points. Now, Tampa's played 5 fewer games.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
They have a snow out or something? How do they play 5 less games?
All the snow. Do they play their home games at the Trop? Why are they not getting any of these in?
It's a mess down there.
Yeah, so I have no idea. But they're right now third in the Atlantic Division. They're in playoff position, and it feels like they've righted the ship. Are you feeling any better about Jeremy Swayman? He was so-so last night. I wouldn't say great.
Yeah, because I was feeling bad about him. So I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm still wanting more. I'm expecting a top 5 goalie in the NHL. Like, I think by the end of the year, hopefully it's a lot closer to that than what it's been. I mean, it's still, 38th in goals allowed, 38th in save percentage, that kind of thing, like in the league. So he needs to improve, but even though not great opponents, back-to-back wins, that certainly helps. So I feel better, but the bar was really low.
Yeah, that's the right way to say it. Yeah. He's been better, but he's still not been good.
No,
so
Korpisalo has been better.
There's still more room for growth. No. That's true. Korpisalo was good last night.
Uh-huh.
Swayman was, or I'm sorry, who? What?
It was no, Swayman it was last night.
The I'm sorry, Korpisalo was 2 nights ago. Thank you. Yep. In the Red Wings game.
Yep.
So Korpisalo was good the other night. Swayman was better last night. Meaning better than he's been, not better than Korpisalo. And, to me, I think he's been good, not great, and so there's more room for growth. But it does tie back to these players and how big of babies they've been. And that's the one thing I would give Montgomery. You said this earlier. I don't think Montgomery was the biggest problem they had. I just think he was the easiest fix.
Yeah.
The problem is these players are babies.
Yeah,
and
I know. It's funny because we usually, or just the way it's looked at in other sports, it's like, NBA players are babies. These guys are babies. Oh, look at these baseball players. They're babies. They can't play all the time. All these football players are shooting their way out of town. They're all the same. The hockey players are babies, too.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
And even if you want to say, I don't want to do this, but even if you did want to do this, and you do hear it from time to time, the hockey hardos will say it. Oh, they all play so hard and this and that. Fine.
Is that right?
Let's say hockey players play harder than every other sport. on the scale of hockey player, these guys are giant babies.
Yeah, that's fine.
In the world of hockey, these are giant babies that they have.
That's fine.
I love Marchand, but like pouting his way through, Pastrnak pouting his way through, Swayman pouting his way about the contract negotiations. They are giant babies.
Well, it literally goes back to the Cassidy firing. You fire Cassidy, gets hired a week later, and wins the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't the problem, clearly.
No.
You guys just didn't like how mean he was to you.
No, and you can't trade the whole team. So, like, I got what they did there. I would have gone bigger. I wouldn't have just fired the coach and just blamed the coach because I thought the coach was pretty good.
Yeah.
But the players didn't want him anymore. How are you going to coach in that situation, short of trading the whole team? But they are a bunch of giant babies.
Like, how long
could
any coach last?
No, fair.
In the NHL?
Especially in that sport.
2 years?
So, Pastrnak last night, couple of assists. The one on the second Marchand. The first Marchand goal was a brilliant goal. Sharp angle. Second one was a great feed from Pastrnak. Marchand gets two goals last night, so he feels like he's waking up. He's now the leading goal scorer on the team.
I would say him coming alive has been a big swing in this stretch.
You need Pastrnak to keep waking up, and then you need to get your power play going.
Yes.
Like, we're going to play some of this exchange last night from Bissonnette and Marchand on TNT.
It's pretty good.
Which I didn't want to like, but I wound up bending the knee and finding it amusing last night. Their power play is horrible. And so, what were they again last night in that game? 0 for 5? Is that what it was?
That sounds right.
So, you got to get that sorted out, and that'll go a long way to unlocking these guys and, you know, unlocking Pastrnak. I mean, he's a machine on the power play. 0 for 5 last night. So, that's something I got to get sorted out. That's on the new coach. That's something I didn't like about last night's game. I didn't think Swayman was perfect by any means, but you're trending in the right direction there. So, no, I don't think it's over. I don't think it's done. I don't think you're making Joe Sacco the long-term coach of the Boston Bruins.
No, you don't need to do that.
But it feels like your season is back on.
Take these points, kind of go. Yeah, this is sort of, I don't think anybody expected them to be like a wagon or anything, but you thought they were going to be a playoff team. And then sort of with this team and really this franchise over the last 14 years, it's, all right, what are you going to do once you get to the playoffs? That's what it is. You gotta surprise people in advance, or are you going to choke it away? So you're just waiting to get there. But in the early going, you're like, oh, wait a minute. They might not even get there. So at least this has righted the ship. It'd be surprising to me now if they did not make the playoffs.
Let's go to the phones here. Mark in Medford, always ready to talk Bruins. Go ahead, Mark.
Good morning, guys. So finally, after 28 games, guys, this is the first time this team has won 3 games in a row this season. That's shocking for a Bruins team, I have to say. But there are a couple of things, and you just stole my thunder a little bit. The power play is still friggin' putrid. No. And David Pastrnak, whether on the power play, 5-on-5, what have you, is not nearly shooting the puck as much as he used to. But on the bright side, it looks like this team is finally finding some sort of identity.
Yeah, I think maybe they found an identity. I just think they're not completely tuning out the guy behind the bench. And so if that's your identity, that you're a giant baby and now you're listening to the new coach, fine. I guess that's their identity. I think, Keith, you and I always felt that this roster was not the biggest problem. There were a lot of people who were like, the roster's a bigger problem than the coach.
I'm like, oh,
Sweeney's
bad.
A bigger problem than Montgomery. I'm not as much of a Sweeney fan as you are, but I didn't hate this roster going into the year. They went out and made big signings.
No, they weren't getting enough out of it. We were talking about, I know
I didn't think they lost anything. I didn't like Ullmark. I didn't like DeBrusk. Grizzlick was, I didn't think they lost anything. They made big signings. Zadorov stinks, but Lindholm should have been an upgrade. I think this roster is a lot better than it played through the first couple months of the year, and it's just proof that they had tuned out the coach, and it was more about that than it was about their talent level. This is much closer to their talent level.
Their top 6 scorers from a year ago and their best goalie were all back. And so, like, and I think they beefed up some of their other guys, at least on paper. Now, maybe, I mean, you could definitely argue about the new acquisitions and if they're living up to it, but before the year began, I think we looked at them as like, all right, that's solid. You had a good young core. You re-signed some of the guys that you wanted to re-sign. I didn't think they were going to be the way they looked through the first month and a half of the season. He brings up Pastrnak.
So I was just going to say this. A lot of people bring up Pastrnak.
Yeah.
Text line. Pasta has the yips. He brings up Pastrnak. He's afraid to shoot. This
you know,
that.
I like to do these projections, right?
Yeah.
So they play 28 games.
Yep.
Do you know what Pastrnak is, how many goals he is on pace for?
Okay, well, I know because I was looking up this morning. He has 9 goals. We're whatever games into the year.
Don't try to do the math. Just take a guess.
40.
26.
That's it. I'm bad at math.
200 goals.
Yeah.
He is on pace for 26 goals. Last year, he scored 47. The year before was the 61 year. The year before that, it was 40. The year before that, it was the COVID year, so it was 20, but it was in a fraction of the games. Prior to that, 48, 38, 35, 34. So he is a, at worst, mid-30s goal guy, and that was early in his career. He's really 40-plus. He could run into a historic 61-goal season. So that's high. So, all right, say it's low. He should be like a 40, 44, 45-goal scorer on pace for 26. The other one that alarms me.
Well, okay, take a guess at what he winds up with. I know what he's on pace for. Take a guess at what he winds up with. High 30s?
Yeah, 32.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've played 28 games. Like,
no,
they've
I understand, but he also could score 15 goals in a 10-game stretch. You know what I mean? Like, he is that kind of guy. No, I would like to see it, too, but just – and this is not to let him off the hook and make an excuse for him, but similar to Jeremy Swayman. All right, Pastrnak's playing a little better last night. Swayman's playing a little bit better.
Yeah.
There's a lot more room for growth, but I would expect him to be closer to what he's done for his entire career.
I
don't feel like he's a bro – like – he's got the yips. He's afraid to shoot. Like, I personally don't feel that way, but maybe I'm wrong.
I just think
his goals are down because the power play numbers are down.
Yeah, exactly. If they get the power play going, he's going to fill it up with a bunch of goals.
Let me know when they get the power play going.
Let me
know once they get that power
play. Once they're above 12%, we'll let you know.
Yeah, you guys might be on to something once they get that going. And one of my favorite projected stats would be Charlie Coyle, who I know has run into some goals, so his goals actually aren't that. He's got 7 goals.
No,
so
I was going to say, he's actually third on the team. I looked all this up this morning.
He's not far off on even Pastrnak for goals. Do you know how many assists Charlie Coyle is scheduled to? Charlie Coyle, who, third line center.
Yeah.
How many assists?
4.
He is on pace.
That's gone down since the last time we did that.
Yeah, I think we did it before. It was 4. And I don't think he's had one since. Like, don't you, like, accidentally run into a couple assists, like, a week?
Uh-huh.
How do you have 3 how do you play as much as he plays and have one assist all season?
Yeah, no, it's tough. And
that's wild.
Yeah, Frederick's doing nothing. Yeah, that's a guy who maybe the contract or potential contract.
Yeah, I bet that's probably getting him a little bit.
Is in his head. And so...
so last year, and you're like, well, Coyle's not like a huge scorer. That's true. Or like even like a point guy. Last year, he had 35 assists. So you go from 35 to 3?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the hell?
I think we all saw that coming.
Yeah.
All right. So what do? You keep rotating? They're effectively rotating the goal. Oh, that's not true.
They've
Corpusello, Swayman, Swayman, Corpusello, Swayman, Swayman, Corpusello, Swayman, and then another Swayman?
So we made a big deal out of Sacco's first game going with Corpusello.
That was Utah,
and I was like,
on November 21st.
I was like, go with him again.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And he went with Swayman for 2. So right now, I feel like, you know, there was a back-to-back last night and the night before, and they don't have another back-to-back for, looks like, a while. So,
yeah, I bet the next back-to-back isn't until early January, yeah.
So I bet they go 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. That'd be my guess. Because you do need to get Swayman to snap out of it. Swayman better be the goalie come playoff time. He better be the one playing better. So I'm okay with it. I was an advocate, though, 8 games ago to be like, hey, give it a shot with Corpusello. But at this point, this is what they've done over the last 8 games, so I'm okay with that. Keep going with that rotation.
While we're just because we're projecting out numbers here,
I love a good projection.
While we're doing this,
yes.
one take that I had, was on the goalies Corpusello.
Oh yeah, big Lean
this year in Boston.
How's Linus doing?
Would outperform Linus Ullmark in Ottawa. Ullmark right now 307 goals against, 888 save percentage. Those sound like Corpusello's numbers from a year ago.
Yeah, they do.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Corpusello 240 goals against.
Oh boy.
With a 909 save percentage.
Jones might
have finalist.
So I don't.
Jones
might
have fallen into one here.
I look.
Do you think
you doubt Hockey Jones at your own risk? Okay, you doubt Hockey Jones at your
That's
own risk.
That's looking pretty.
You
good.
Say, oh, it's just a hot take. Oh, he's just saying that. No. The Bruins tend to know how to structure things in front of a goalie.
Oh, it's a big goalie Bob compliment.
It is to a degree a goalie Bob compliment.
A big shout out to goalie Bob.
And it's the goalie coach in Ottawa catching strays, I guess.
Do you think the Senators regret giving Ullmark the Swayman contract?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think the Bruins regret giving Swayman the Swayman contract?
Yes, probably. Yeah, I would say they do. But like this idea, this is what I never agreed with. The idea that the Bruins don't have the talent. I never felt that way because I don't think they lost hardly anything from a year ago. They've gotten better goaltending out of Corpusello than Ullmark. DeBrus stinks. Anybody pretending that they missed DeBrus
is insane.
Sniffing glue.
No, but I am surprised. Ooh, like bottling glue?
Yeah, sure.
You get high as a kite.
Keith, you pick your glue.
Any glue?
Yeah, whatever.
Elmer's?
Yeah.
Regular Elmer's?
Rubber cement.
You ever get some of that Gorilla Glue on your finger? It works. Like, you are like, I got to pull the skin off of my body in order to.
Yeah, the modeling glue, Gorilla Glue.
I'm not good with any of the glues.
No.
Not good with any of the glues.
Is rubber cement still a thing? Do they still use that in schools?
Oh, that would stick stuff.
Is that still a thing?
Oh, boy, would it. That would stick stuff. I'm surprised, though, circling back to your, because you were, as of right now, you are right about the Corposalo Allmark swap.
I don't like the qualifier.
I'm just trying to get some consistency. I am surprised that you would want to also give Swayman the amount of money he's getting if even a guy, even a jackass like Corposalo is playing as well as he is.
Okay, but Corposalo's numbers aren't great. I just knew they would be a lot better.
They're not bad.
Swayman, no, but Swayman should be
like
an actually correct. I just think Swayman's
a much
better player.
Do you know what Corposalo is in the league in goals against average? So Swayman's like 38.
Yeah. 12.
Sixth.
So that's better than I thought.
So, like, could you get like a $4 million goalie and have him be your goalie and then pay? Now, this also would assume that you spend money on good players to play defense
or other players
forward.
No, I mean, look, that's fair. I believe in their structure. I do just think, like, the structure was good with Allmark and Swayman last year. I always felt way better about Swayman than Allmark because he's better. So, I mean, there is an element where the players matter. But, no, largely their system works. And if you wanted to make that case, you can. I would still rather have a talented guy in net, the more talented guy in net, beyond just the scheme, which definitely works in the regular season, less so come postseason time. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. It's Bruins Thursday. We have the Razor, Andrew Raycroft. Right. He joins us right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics and winners of back-to-back games after last night's 130-120 victory over the Pistons at the TD Garden. Jaylen Brown led all scorers with 28 points. The Celtics homestand continues tomorrow night when the Seas host the Bucks. Bruins are on a three-game winning streak after their 4-2 win over the Blackhawks in Chicago last night. Bees got a pair of goals from both Morgan Geekie and Brad Marchand. Goaltender Jeremy Swayman made 20 saves on 22 shots. Bruins are now off until Saturday afternoon when they welcome the Blackhawks to the Garden. PWHL action, the Boston Fleet fall to 0-2 after last night's 2-1 loss to the Minnesota Frost. Week 14 in the NFL begins with a Thursday night football matchup between the Packers and Lions. Kickoff's at 8:15. You can hear the call of the game right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM with Westwood One's coverage beginning at 7:30. Patriots defensive end Dietrich Wise Jr. was named a nominee for the 2024 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. And beginning today at 3 p.m. on WEEI AM 850, you can catch the calls of the MIAA High School Football Championship games live from Gillette Stadium. First up, it's Division 4 matchup between Duxbury and Scituate, followed by the Division 1 championship game between Xaverian and Needham, and finally it's Catholic Memorial versus King Philip Regional for the Division 2 championship. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI.com.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
I said earlier, Keith, I didn't want to love that last night, but I enjoyed that exchange.
No, it was good.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
You know, Marchand, the last time they had an exchange, he said, saw the guys that beat the wheels off you there.
Yeah. Then he wears the neck brace.
It's a biz. Then Biz is wearing the neck brace.
I love a fake neck brace.
You like that?
I laugh every time. It's like Vince McMahon back in the day was on trial for like steroids or whatever, or like whatever trial he was on there for, and he showed up to court with a neck brace.
And that neck brace that he wore like wasn't even like bracing his neck.
No,
like his head could turn, and like you could literally see space between like the brace and his actual.
It was like a little thicker than like a turtleneck.
It's a good point. The situation, like memes and gifs of him, and he really needed a neck
so
brace.
Funny.
But him from headbutting the wall in Italy. So I mean that never gets old.
I always enjoy a Christopher Maltasanti neck brace.
Oh yeah, good.
That's a good.
Good one.
Also, so Tony Khan, Shad Khan's son, who owns AEW, there was an angle where he got like DDT'd or something, or like thrown off like the ropes. Then 2 days later was the NFL draft, and in the war room, he wore a neck brace, which is like just carrying over the gimmick, which is hysterical. But anyway, I love a neck brace.
Nice. So look, I thought that was a good exchange last night. They do need to get the power play going, but they've won three in a row. They've won 6 out of 8 under Joe Sacco. And joining us here on a Bruins Thursday is Andrew Raycroft, the Razor of Nesson. He's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Razor, what's up this week?
Not much. How are you guys making out?
Pretty good. We're doing great. Bruins winning 3 in a row, 6 out of 8 under Joe Sacco. What's different?
Their defense is way better as a team. Their structure in the neutral zone changed. I think last week we talked instantly that was changing, which carried over into the defensive zone. The penalty kills, 19 of 20 since Joe Sacco took over. We've been waiting for that to turn the entire season. It just didn't make sense that they had the same personnel, the same goalie, the same coaches, and they couldn't kill a penalty to save their life. So that's gotten better. And it's just a defensive mindset that has been reset because of the change, but all around just needed a reset, and that's what's contributing to these wins. And Detroit's a good example. It's a boring game the other night. That's a terrible game against Detroit, but they found a way to pull it out because they're giving themselves a chance.
Should we feel really good about this 8-game start, or should we pump the brakes a little bit because of the opponents for the most part have not been great teams?
No, it's tough to win in the league. I'm not going to, because if they didn't win against those bad teams, we'd be crushing them for that. So, again, we know the pro schedule is a pro schedule. You're going to have softer points. I would say that last night's game, that's as tough a travel as you're going to get in the Eastern Conference to play at home and then have to go to Chicago halfway across the country for one game and then get back on a plane and come home back-to-back nights. So that's not easy to pull that one out. So I think you're probably not going to go 6-2 every 8-game segment the rest of the year. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this team is certainly good enough to be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games over 500 in another 10 days.
I heard, I think it was Chris on the Greg Hill show this morning, asked Milbury about whether or not they should remove the interim tag from Joe Sacco, which I personally would not do. But do you think there's an element or a reason to do that for the players in the room? They know who the guy is for the rest of the year. How would you feel about removing that interim tag from Sacco?
No, I don't think it's necessary to do. They're not getting another coach this year. I mean that's I don't see any scenario where that happens. So it's easy just to keep it as it is. This was our decision, and go win games, and we'll deal with it in the off season.
What do you make of David Pastrnak's season so far? He's off his, normal goal-scoring pace, and he's set some pretty incredible numbers over the last 2 years. I know they haven't scored a lot on the power play, and that might be a big reason why he hasn't, piled up the goals so far this year. But just overall, Jones and I aren't as down on him as seemingly a lot of listeners. Like, we're getting a lot of texts and tweets and things about...
Yeah, surprising.
People are kind of turning on Pastrnak a little bit. I'm curious what you've thought of his first 28 games.
Yeah, I was listening, and I appreciated your views. I think it's,
We're hockey guys. We get it. We understand.
Yeah, we know what we're doing.
I appreciate the fact you guys spent 25 minutes talking about the Bruins, which, that's remarkable at times in this city. So well done.
Thank you.
I'm 100% with you. So while I was listening, I wanted to make a couple points. So I agree 100%. He hasn't got one easy goal on the power play all year. I mean, that used to be an automatic where you'd get two or three easy ones just off of a faceoff play and just off of a power play. So that hasn't clicked for him yet. That affects his goal scoring ability, and the power play is not that good. And quite honestly, as bad as it could possibly be in the NHL, they're at the bottom. The other thing, I looked up while you guys were talking, top 30 guys in the National Hockey League. And I also agree he's going to score 15 goals over 10 games and jump back into the top 10 very quickly at some point. But right now he's outside the top 30. The top 30 guys, the lowest shooting percentage is John Tavares at 13.6. David Pastrnak's shooting percentage is 8%. So when the lowest guy in the top 30 is 13.6, most of the guys are up over 20% shooting percentage. David Pastrnak's going to revert closer to the mean there. He's going to get his shooting percentage back up over 10, 12, 13, 15%. And when he does, you're going to look at his goal totals and say, oh, he's got 35 goals now.
So we're talking to Andrew Raycroft of Nesson, joining us here on a Bruins Thursday, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Beyond just some bad luck, though, what's wrong with the power play?
Yeah, they haven't connected enough passes. I think that's a big one for me. I think you see almost on every opportunity, there's a bobbled pass somewhere, and it really slows them down. And when you bobble it once, the defending team can close a little quicker. They get to the next pass a little quicker, and then you start rushing as well. So there's certainly some individual performances that need to be better, just simple details. I think that they haven't had a shot mentality from the top enough at times. I think they get passing around the perimeter and try and make a perfect play to David or try and make a perfect play through the seam, which has hurt them a lot of times when they do get set up. So those are the two main things for me is just being better with your passing, more crisp, more dialed in, but then also having a shot-first mentality. I think they've done a better job retrieving pucks. They've done a better job with their entries lately. They just have to clean up the last two, and it should open up a little bit more.
As soon as Sacco took over, Korpisalo got that first game. We all made like a big deal out of that, and we were wondering how it was going to go. And since then, it's been pretty straightforward. Korpisalo gets a game, Swayman gets two, back to Korpisalo, Swayman for two. Is that something you think they're going to keep going? I mean, barring, injury and barring, back-to-backs and things like that, do you think that's probably going to be a pattern they continue to use?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that's the ideal scenario where you're playing once a week if you're Jonas Korpisalo and Jeremy's playing twice a week. And especially this time of year, especially with the travel, they have a big road trip coming up. You're going to want to spread things out a little bit. Now the defense and the structure in front of the goaltenders is better. That keeps everybody in the mix as well. So yeah, I absolutely foresee a scenario where at least over the next 4 weeks, you see Korpisalo play four times.
How do you feel, Razor, about the Four Nations face-off? The rosters were locked in last night. A bunch of Bruins are going to be a part of this. Boston's going to be one of the sites. Are you a fan of the format? Do you like they're doing this? How do you feel about it?
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure. I love international hockey. We haven't seen and the reason I say that is because we haven't seen this since 2018 when they did a similar scenario. They had six or eight teams. I understand the political landscape we live. Russia not being involved in a hockey tournament doesn't feel quite the same for me. There's a lot of great players being left out without them in the mix. So the four teams, I'm not sure about. I'm not sure what the teams and what the intensity is going to look like, but I am glad that international hockey is getting back, and I think I will love it once they get playing. I haven't seen it for so long. I don't have the same buzz as what I might have in for the 2010 Olympics, let's say.
So they have the Olympics. They have this now, the Four Nations Cup. Was there also like a World Cup that they had at some point, like off and on World Cup? Like what other events are there for country versus country?
Correct. So this is going to essentially be the World Cup. Okay. I think the view of this is going to be the World Cup in 4 years from now, have more teams. This was, this was planned a little bit later. I think they're putting it together just to get something started. The World Cup of Hockey is player and league generated, so everybody has a say in it. That's important to the Players Association. a revenue generator, also having some control as players on what the schedule looked like, et cetera. Whereas the Olympic hockey's, the double IHF and the Olympic committee, it's a whole different, the league really doesn't have any say in any of that. So, or the players certainly. So two separate things, but this world, this is the Four Nations is essentially the old World Cup of hockey in 96 and in 2004. And I think the idea is to do this every 4 years, Olympics every 4 years, and then you have international hockey every two.
Okay. He's Andrew Raycroft. Joins us every Bruins Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. Razor, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a weekend.
Thank you.
Andrew Raycroft joining us here on WEEI. How about that?
I like country versus country stuff.
Oh, I like that,
I love
too.
It. Yeah, it is a little odd. Four Nations, so it's just, for those that don't know, it's just
weird in the middle of the year, too. Isn't that strange?
Well, the Olympics is... Or was.
Well, that's true.
So
I guess
when they do the Olympics, they take a little Olympic break.
I guess I get it more for the Olympics than
but
I do.
There'll be way
for...
more games in the Olympics. This is sort of like still like a showcase, which I think I will get into. So it's USA, Canada, Finland, Sweden.
Yeah.
That's it. So, like, obviously no Russia, but also you know, David Pasternak's going to play. There's no Czech Republic. There's no, like, no right. Slovakia, none of that. I'll still watch it. I mean, Charlie McAvoy is involved. There'll be a bunch of... Bruins in there. Swayman's on the team. So I'll watch it. I think it's good. Like I always look forward to the Olympics. It's one of the best events when you have...
Yeah, but that is a best-on-best, right? Like this feels something short of best. I
yeah, you're
point.
Missing Russia, but I mean, Canada's always in the final, it feels like. So Canada's the best.
Well, yeah, but yeah. But then when I think of the best teams in the world, am I like, I need Finland there?
No, they're good, though. I mean, no, I understand. There's really only eight teams that compete
but you
every
are
year.
Missing out. Will Ovechkin be healthy? I don't know. You're missing out on Ovechkin. As you just said, there's no Pasternak. Like, you're missing, you are missing potentially a lot of the best players in the world. When I say best on best, that's what I mean.
Oh,
you're
I got
getting,
you.
You're, the teams that are playing, you're getting the best on best.
Yeah.
To a degree, I guess I'd have to really dig in on the rosters.
They're probably four of the five best countries at hockey.
That's probably true.
Year in and year out.
Yeah.
Like, again, Czech Republic can go on a run, but I think it'll still be good hockey, like, and I'm still looking forward to it. But you're right, there is sort of that, like, well, there's no Russia. Like, Team Russia is usually, especially they're always a good villain, too.
How about that? Razor pumping us up, too. Not only is he listening to 20-plus minutes of hockey talk, but it's rare in this city, he says. I mean, who
else?
It's
a huge compliment. He could listen to us talk about it for that long.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. He's like, oh, boy, I better be on my toes for whatever they're going to ask me, because these guys, you never know what kind of sneak attack questions they're going to ask. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the phones. That's also your text line. Keith, we got the Jones family Christmas tree up. It was a two-day event, but it's finally up at our home.
2 days, huh?
Well, some lights were out. We can get into it.
I got some thoughts on the Keith family tree.
Well, let's do that. Let's get into some Christmas tree etiquette, some thoughts, and how to handle it each and every year. That's next.